Okay, Prof. Imran Valodia joins us on the line. Welcome, Prof. It's good to have you. Prof, thank you for coming. And it's a very important conversation to have. We thought maybe just do a harder conversation for a Monday, but there isn't a good day for this conversation. Every day is a good day. My first question is, given the fact that so many people are seeking refuge in this country, economic refugees that are not just coming from the African continent, they're coming from all over the world, why is it that we have this label as the most unequal country in the world? Is that even correct?
Well, it is correct in terms of countries that we have information on. So of all of the countries that we can do a calculation for how unequal that society may be, South Africa does stand out as the country with the highest level of inequality. But I think it's important to qualify that by saying that there are a number of countries that are that probably have higher levels of inequality, but don't have the data, so we're unable to do the calculation in those countries.
I get you. So there are countries that have not supplied or are incapable of supplying the data to make the kind of assessments that have been made in respect of South Africa. And for that reason, maybe we're not, in terms of criteria, the most unequal country in the world. But we are a very unequal country, if not the worst in this world. And we're feeling it in our pockets that things have not gotten worse in the past 20 years since we were declared the most unequal country in the world. Prof, did things get worse?
Yeah, I think it's quite clear from the data that things have got worse. But I think it's important to note that depending on what your starting period is, if we take 1994 as the starting period for how we think about this, then I think we did start with a really high level of inequality anyway, and that has got slightly worse over the last while.
Okay, so why is this happening? What is driving the trend? And you know, the rich are getting richer in South Africa, but South Africa is but a microcosm of the world. So tell us about the drivers.
So I think the primary driver in the South African case is the unemployment issue. So we have about depending on which data you use and how you define it, we have about 35 to 40% of those who should be working are unable to find work, and they report zero incomes, or they report incomes that are extremely low. So you have a large proportion of the people having really, really low incomes, and I think that's the main driver for why we have such high inequality. But I think, as you point out, it's also important to note that that the incomes of high income earners are also exceptionally high, and that the kind of growth of incomes at that top end in South Africa has been quite substantial.
Indeed. And then the focus of redress has been race. And I'm proposing it didn't serve us. It should have been class. And that would have kept a greater focus of liberating the poor out of poverty.
I think it's a good point. But I come back to what do you think the starting point is? I think if we go back to the political transition, I think the kind of relationship between income and class was much stronger in the 90s than it is now. So the focus on race at that time was also then a focus on class. I think what has happened in the interim is that relationship between class and race has broken down somewhat. I think it's important to say it's not broken down completely. I mean, there's still a very kind of race-based pattern to income in South Africa, but it's a lot less strong than it used to be then. So I think we could say some successes have been had in terms of the race issue, but unfortunately, because a small section of Black South Africans benefited from that, we haven't really had a huge impact in terms of class.
Chatting with Professor Imran Valodia, just unpacking South Africa's inequality curse. So you're probably right in respect of race being, well, representing the poorest of the poor in this particular country a long time ago, and maybe that to a lesser extent today. What we have done, I think, successfully is create a very strong Black middle class, and that should be a pragmatic preoccupation in terms of redress. Would you agree with that, Prof. Imran Valodia?
Yeah, look, I think that the rise of a black upper class and a black middle class has been a kind of really important kind of transformation in how our economy has operated. I think the problem is that we don't have enough of a middle class in South Africa, policies should really be trying to lift the incomes of the
poorest of the poor,
of the poorest, so that they shift into that middle class a lot faster than we're able to do at present.
Agreed. And probably the most important question is the role of organized labor in the stunting of you know, employment opportunities.
Yeah, so I don't think that it's fair, and I don't think that it's appropriate, and it's not factually correct to kind of argue that organized labor has kind of stunted the emergence of a black middle class. I don't think that trade-off plays out kind of in the way that some people argue. So that's not a view that I think is supported by the evidence.
Interesting. What should we do? Just final question in 30 seconds. What should we be doing and focusing on now?
I think we would all agree that we need the South African economy to grow. I think the important question is what type of growth we have. I think we have to have growth that is going to kind of skew kind of income growth towards the bottom end of our distribution, and I think we need better regulatory approaches. We need better public investment and things of that sort that would lift up the bottom end of the distribution.
Appreciated, Prof. Imran Valodia, your time and insights always appreciated.